I don't know how well you can see the icons here, but it will be helpful for you to do so for the homily today. This is a day of great joy. It's what we call the birthday of the church. All that Christ imparted to us through his saving incarnation, defeat of sin and death on the cross, his glorious resurrection and ascension, has its fulfillment this day. We're here today worshiping God, the Holy Trinity, one in essence and undivided. For this is also known as the day of the Holy Spirit, the day of the Holy Trinity that was first preached. We're here today proclaiming the truth of the gospel and Orthodox faith preserved in the church for 2,000 years. We're here today because of the promise of love made by Christ God himself, saying, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And in fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh, as we heard at Vespers last night. On this day, the disciples, who were confused and fearful, right? How many recent gospel lessons have we had where we found the disciples confused and fearful and doubting? They who are confused and fearful, who continuously misunderstood and questioned the resurrection, are now made bold by the descent of the Holy Spirit upon them as tongues of fire. In an instant, all is changed. The disciples speak with boldness. The Holy Spirit has come upon them and replaced their heart of fear with God's love and power from on high. No longer are the disciples huddled together in the upper room for fear of the Jewish authorities, as they were when Jesus visited them after his resurrection. Now we see them in the streets, preaching to the people with one voice and great courage the truth of new life in Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all that God had promised Israel and the world in his great love and mercy. Mankind's efforts at unity, creating unity through us people, making it happen, forcing it to happen, are always prideful, seeking to take the place of God. And we see this so well illustrated in the example that God gives us in this feast, that of the Tower of Babel. To humble man and to teach him to fear God, and that peace and unity are not achieved without him who is himself the truth and the light. To teach them to follow him so that man could live and thirst after salvation in him, God divided the tongues, divided the peoples. But now at Pentecost, God calls all mankind back to life, back to communion with him, back to unity that is possible only with him, only in the truth. This communion is manifested not in man's efforts, but by the gift of God, by the seal of the Holy Spirit given to each of us at our chrismation. The Holy Spirit leads us to unity in the faith of Christ's Holy Church, to understanding the truth of God, just as Christ promised before his holy ascension. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Comforter, the Paraclete, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. By the Holy Spirit, we are indeed led into all truth. And what is truth? Jesus Christ says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Indeed, this is what it means to be an Orthodox Christian. We receive him who is the truth by being born anew, as Christ says to Nicodemus, through water and the Spirit, without which, Christ says, we cannot and may not enter the kingdom of God. St. John the Baptist prepares the way, saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This is the baptism and chrismation, the sealing of which St. Paul speaks and which he himself received from Ananias through God, through the hands of Ananias by God. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. This is St. Paul speaking. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. For this reason, we sing today in place of the usual Trisagion, as many as have been baptized have put on Christ. Pentecost is for us our own personal renewal of our own baptism into Christ, our own sealing by the Holy Spirit. On this day, everything is renewed. We are refreshed and empowered to struggle through repentance, to thirst after God again with renewed vigor and zeal, making spiritual progress by the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us, so that we can see God's kingdom advanced in us, but also through us in the world around us. And so today at the end of the service, we'll pray the prayers of repentance. We'll return to kneeling and prostrating and matanyas and enjoin our bodies with our soul's desire, which, as Christ says in the gospel today, is to thirst after him. And that we will be sated if we thirst after God. We bend both our souls and our bodies before the Lord, and we receive healing from our sin sickness, from our passions, from our habits. Not always in an instantaneous fashion, because the work of helping us to divorce ourselves from the world's hold on us is very strong. But God, who rose from the dead and conquered sin and death on our behalf, is more powerful. And his Spirit is everywhere present and fills all things. Fills you and I. Up and over to overflowing with his light and his truth. Salvation from here on out is no longer just a gift for the Jews, because God has poured out his Spirit on all flesh. The Gentiles respond to the gospel message of new life in Christ, participating in the life of the one God in three persons. Those present at Pentecost from all nations hear the good news of salvation in their own tongue. They all hear it in their own language, the reversal of that which happened at Babel. Because this is God's work. This is the work that brings them to the truth of life eternal and participation in the kingdom of God through communion with him. The one thing that can unite all mankind together in a community of love. Not based on prideful human ambitions, but on communion with God, with life itself. Life in the Spirit after Pentecost is manifested then not in chaos, not in confusion, but always in order. And we see this related by St. Luke in Acts 2, in our picture that we have of the early church worship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the Eucharistic bread, and in the prayers. And this same order continues to be at the heart of Orthodox worship to this day. And despite the differences in language, in culture, in background, in geography, time, the same message of healing and salvation, of life in communion with God and with each other, and in accordance with his commandments that are life-giving, is proclaimed with the same unity of message. No matter where we are in the Orthodox Church today. This life in unity in the Spirit is depicted in the traditional icon of Pentecost that we have right here before us. We don't see the descent of the Holy Spirit through the eyes of the unbelievers gathered in Jerusalem, whom St. Luke relates mock the apostles in their exuberance, saying they're full of new wine. Instead, we see the heavenly reality of the descent, what it means for us, what it means for the faithful in the church. Maybe I'll just lift it up here so you can see it a little bit more easily. The unity of common orthodox, of right believing faith, is seen in the apostles' communal gathering. The diversity of gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, teaching, prophecy, language, are all depicted in their differing gestures. The gospel writers are shown gospel in hand, scroll in hand, showing their gifts of teaching, of proclamation. The space at the top is left vacant, signifying that Christ has ascended in glory and is now invisibly present with us through the Holy Spirit that has descended, whom God the Father has sent to empower them and us to minister in Christ's name, in his stead to be everywhere present and filling all things. The Holy Spirit is here represented by the tongues of fire. Why tongues? Why fire? Because God spoke and life spoke life into being by his word, by the Logos, and became incarnate to redeem our human nature. And God has sent us the Holy Spirit just so, to give us new life in him and empower our speech and our actions to proclaim to the world by word and deed the good news of salvation in him. Today, God is proclaimed and manifested as Holy Trinity, a communion, a relationship of truth and love that you and I are invited to join in. The fire testifies to the truth that God is a consuming fire who offers us healing by burning up the thorns of all our offenses, as we hear in the post-communion prayer of St. Simeon the New. He burns up the thorns of our passions by growing us in that new man that he promises to make us into being, that he's given us by virtue of our baptism and chrismation. To all of us who are wearied by sin, by grudges, by lack of faith, lack of trust, whatever passions, here represented in the holy icon as the old man, the cosmos, ruled by sin and darkness, Christ proclaims to us in his gospel today, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The apostles and their successors in Christ's holy church today proclaim this same truth. There's freedom from enslavement to this world. There's fulfillment and enlightenment in Christ. There's healing from our sin sickness. There's new life in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. In this way, the prayer to the Holy Spirit becomes personal. It becomes our own Pentecost to this day. There's nowhere that he is not or cannot be. And he is in each one of us who desires and thirsts after him and comes to him and puts him on in baptism and is sealed by the Holy Spirit and begins to live that new life in him. He is stronger than whatever weaknesses you and I possess. He empowers you and I that we too, however simple we may be, just like the apostles were simple, can find our courage and the love of God that we need to proclaim and live the good news of salvation and new life in Jesus Christ, both for our own benefit, but also for that of the world around us. Today we pray, beseeching God, the Holy Spirit, O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of blessings and giver of life, come and abide in us and cleanse us from every impurity and save our souls, O good one. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
Say with all our soul and with all our minds, let us sing.